identity?
And we're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking to Dr. Timothy Schaefer from the KSU Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy, and talked a little bit about Next Generation program with their national chapter of the National Institute for Civil Discourse. And, you know, we talk about civic discourse and a bit of civil discourse. It's all kind of intertwined, and, you know, you can't have civic discourse without – well, you can, but you should have it civilly at the very least.
Yeah, I'd say.
I would say so, and I mean, I'd hope you say so with all your
– I know. If I didn't, then this has been a total farce.
But we're going to kind of transition here, and I saw you post an article on Facebook probably, 2 weeks ago now?
Yeah, that'd be about right.
Sounds about right. See, it published June 7th, so that would make sense. And it's called Democracy in the Air, Radio as a Complement to Face-to-Face Discussion in the New Deal. And by the New Deal, we're talking about the one in the 30s and 40s under FDR.
Correct.
And, well, I haven't gotten a chance to read it. It does have some restrictions on it, unfortunately.
It does.
And, you know, academic journals kind of run that way. But I think it's very interesting as a radio guy, and I want to hear more about it. So tell me a little bit about sort of what led you into the writing of this and sort of the research in general.
Yeah, so I feel like I may have mentioned some of this when I've been on before, but a big part of my work is historical. So looking at particularly the 1930s and 40s as this window when there were some interesting experiments that were going on, somewhat comparable to, I think, the things that we often talk about now, right? Thinking about the role of universities facilitating community conversations, all sorts of things like that. And so during the New Deal in the USDA, there was this kind of experiment of sorts within a body that otherwise did kind of traditional academic research. So they developed a unit within the USDA, within the Bureau of Agricultural Economics, that was called the Program Study and Discussion Unit. And what they did was produced discussion materials on all sorts of topics. So they talked about, I mean, actually a lot of timely things. They talked about taxes, imports and exports. They talked about soil erosion, so environmental concerns. They talked about basically the development of rural communities, so tensions between urban and rural context, all sorts of kind of topical materials. And they trained extension agents to facilitate these community conversations. And they eventually expanded it beyond that to include other community leaders in agricultural organizations like the Farm Bureau, the Farmers Union, those types of things, but other civic organizations. And so the particular article that you're pointing to here was an example of how they how they used radio as this kind of complement to these face-to-face interactions. So what they did, I mean, and it's, you know, it's a helpful reminder. This was not long after radio really started becoming popular, kind of showing up in everyone's homes. It was very kind of communal in some ways. And so there were some references in there to how people would talk about going down a main strip of a town or a city and just being able to hear the same story because everybody had their radios on in the windows and people were sitting on porches, things like that. So radio was this kind of new technology. And so as we think about kind of in contemporary ways, how do we utilize online communication, social media, for example, beside the more humanistic face-to-face interactions, they were doing the same kinds of things. And so what they did was would have folks from the USDA go on, kind of frame the topics, talk about it, say why it was really important for people to you know, go out and show up in the Grange Hall or in the community center or in somebody's front room. And I've got a lot of documentation things from this. And then they would basically use that as kind of the lead into the face-to-face interactions that were happening at the local scale. So they used the national kind of broadcasting as an opportunity to frame it as a national discussion, and then it got localized. They used the home and farm hour as that way to do that and said, hey, if you're interested in this, then, you know, basically communicate with your local extension office. And so it happened across the country. And the article that you were referencing looked a lot at Wisconsin because they had a really robust model of this statewide, really getting into communities, thousands of people, hundreds of communities. So it, for me, in one way, is not just this kind of interesting, like, oh, this is curious that they did this in the past. But as we think about, I think, kind of contemporary questions, the desire to both acknowledge kind of where we are with technology and figuring out how to use it for good is a perennial question.
So it was kind of there would be national broadcast the way you're describing it. And then it wouldn't necessarily be that the discussion and deliberation was on the air.
No.
But it was sort of the way that it would feed into these discussions.
Yeah. So it was – and that's why that's kind of framed the way it is, that it was really intentionally designed to be complementary to the local face-to-face interactions. There were initiatives at that time that were going on. There was something called Town Meeting of the Air. Which ends up becoming basically Meet the Press on NBC. And so there were lots of experiments trying to figure out how to use technology in the ways to reach, you know, these wider audiences. And especially as we're going back to our landscape point at the beginning, especially in rural places, think about a lot of Kansas, you don't always have immediate neighbors to just kind of talk over the fence line with. You'd have to go quite far. And that was obviously true in the 30s and 40s and with transportation limitations and roads. And, I mean, there are all these stories of, like, people trying to get out, but they just couldn't because the roads were completely mud and all this stuff. Radio was a great way to actually show up and have points of connection. Obviously, it was one directional, right? So there was some limitation there. But there were lots of other examples of using radio as a platform literally for panel discussions and interactions that were just broadcast to people in this kind of traditional ways, the ways that we're doing it now, for example. But that ends up emerging, transforming over time into television and to other things.
So is that sort of – did it just end up fizzling out, so to speak, or did it change? How did these the USDA's role in this progress over the years?
Yeah, so that's part of the interesting kind of nature of the story. One big thing that happened in the early 40s and through the mid-40s was the Second World War, which kind of transformed just about everything. And so actually this group within the USDA ended up creating resources and materials to help facilitate conversations for communities as it related to the war. So there was some of the final materials that they produced were related to the question of what do we do when G.I. Joe comes home, right? What are the impacts on the economy and the role of women in the workplace, right? Because they had assumed all these roles when men went to war and when a number of them were returning, right? All of a sudden we've got this new dynamic. How do we explore that? So those kinds of topics were being discussed with these resources. Even the kind of preliminary ideas of the United Nations structure was literally one of the final documents that they produced. So they always kept it very timely, right? So it was kind of on point. But part of it was that there was a as the war was ending, kind of things were shifting. The new emergent technologies were. Television was just on the cusp, and not to make a bigger point here, but there were tensions that were playing out in agriculture, particularly as it related to the ways that interest groups saw this kind of localized, kind of democratized structure, right? So Big Ag, use it as shorthand, didn't love the idea of these kind of local because these discussion groups were working alongside land use planning. And so there were structural tensions that basically the budgets kind of started getting cut through the USDA through intensive lobbying and it gets folded in. And so the unit that this used to be and still exists, it's actually the ones that they've just announced are potentially going to move to Kansas City that basically do the economic research. So it's interesting to think about the unit within the USDA today that looks at agriculture through this kind of purely economic lens, historically also had this really kind of engaging local participatory process that was happening alongside the traditional economic frameworks for thinking about issues and what was important and how do we deal with them.
And it's interesting talking about it. You know, you're talking about emerging technologies. And, of course, we're in the big stage of constantly emerging new technologies and how that impacts our everyday communications and even mass communications. And are there any I'm not sure if the article goes into any conclusions or draws any extrapolations towards our current society and our situations now. But do you see any lessons from that or any things that maybe we could – emulate from this program that would be really helpful today? Because quite honestly, this just sounds like things I think about all the time when I'm thinking about my future research or projects or whatever I may do when I go off to my master's program.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably the biggest thing for me, and partly why I split my time kind of between this historical research about what things happened 85 years ago with the contemporary work that I'm doing with students and the classes that I teach and through our Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy here at K-State, all of this is that I do see a lot of relationship between these things, that the fact that we are now, interestingly enough, struggling to answer the question, how do we get people to interact as people, right, rather than through necessarily mediated technology, the fact that a lot of students have challenges having sustained conversation or looking people in the eye. These are real things, right? And so the hope is, I think, for me is to look at how do we have that sense of community and context, and realizing back to the point that we were making at the beginning of the show of depending on where people are coming from, what those experiences are, that can really be varied. And so how do we create conditions for those kinds of interactions. Another article that I've written about in this work is, you know, building on this idea of like, how do we create the space for these interactions to happen? And that's really important, right? If we don't have the conditions right, then it does, the stuff doesn't just poof happen. You need to have kind of the fertile soil, so to speak. And that's, you know, jumping back to what we were talking about with the Next Generation Project, trying to take something statewide, is how do you kind of create soil fertile enough for people to want to engage or even feel inclined to take a first step, because so much of how they see, quote, politics, whether it's formal politics or the more informal stuff happening in their own communities, as just being discouraging, not something you want to do, you know, this kind of intense battle, this partisan battle, like that's, I don't want to spend my time doing that kind of thing. So what's the alternative? And I think that's part of what we can learn from some of these early examples is figuring out what are those alternatives.
And I think it's important to note that it's not getting rid of the technology. It's using it in a way to facilitate the communications.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah. And it's time for our next break of the morning. We'll be back more with Dr. Timothy Schaefer here on News Radio KMAN. You're listening to InFocus.